You know, if you're as old as me, as old as me, you can remember that New Year's time, you go to the supermarket and you'd see in, like, the tabloids, the National Enquirer, Jean Dixon, this, like, horoscope lady who would make these predictions every year about life or maybe the president or something with Jackie O, always something with Jackie O. But in fact, you know, she stood out as this, like, why would she want to do something like that? Actually, the whole world runs on predictions.
Yeah, they're one of the most fun things to read. And when you work in business,
how could Wall Street work without predictions?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, 90% of the people on Wall Street, their job is to predict.
It's not lucky guesses,
what
right?
General Electric is going to do, or what you know, what Halliburton is going to do, or something like that. Politicians,
right? Exactly.
What do they do? Mm-hmm. Predict exactly. So predictions, not only are they an American thing, if you don't do predictions, it's actually un-American. It's unpatriotic. So we've invited two people on the program whose actually perspective on the future is a time-honored part of their authorial voice. Sherry Turkle is the author of the forthcoming book, Alone Together, Why We Expect More from Technology and Less from Each Other. She's also a professor at MIT. She joins us from Boston. Sherry, good morning.
Good morning.
Sherry, I predict that we will have a subsequent conversation about your book sometime next year.
Yeah,
there we go. So I'm right off the bat, I'm doing great. Simon Winchester joins us. He was on the program this year talking about his book, Atlantic, Great Sea Battles, Heroic Discoveries, Titanic Storms, and a Vast Ocean of a Million Stories. Good morning to you, Simon.
Good morning.
You wrote this way out on a limb piece for who is this essay for?
It was for the New York Times.
For the New York Times. Yeah, I've heard of them.
Small local paper.
Yeah,
the
local paper here. Yeah, right. We'll all go extinct one day. Wow.
Well, and of course we will. But what amused me was once I was giving a talk in Kansas City about the likely eruption of the volcanoes that made Yellowstone National Park, and said that when they eventually erupt again, all of the west of the United States and Canada will be toast. They'll be buried under several hundred feet of volcanic ash, but it's inevitable. But I said, don't worry about it, because it'll happen in geological time, in about 250,000 years, by which time all humankind will be extinct, so there's nothing to bother about. And everyone sort of accepted this with equanimity, except some woman who had evidently had a rather good lunch, and she stood up waving her program, swaying slightly, and said, what? She said, what? Even Americans will be extinct? And so I had to say that, yes, I'm afraid even Americans
would be extinct. Well, Sherry Turkle, my kids love the prediction, of course, that they all learn about in elementary school, that the sun will eventually explode and burn us all up, you know, a few billion years in the future. How do you get predictions more accurate for, say, maybe the next 12 months? Or why bother?
Well, I think the question is why bother. I think my question is what stands behind our desire to predict, since we know that so many of our predictions are really not going to come true. And I think that it's part of the desire to control the future and to imagine the future that we want. So that we predict not just to kind of win a bet against the future, but also to really imagine the future that we want as a way to kind of getting there. So prediction is as much our way of aspiring to something as our way of, you know, kind of really betting that we're going to get to something. It's a way of imagining the future that we'd like to have.
And the media industry, you know, is proof of just the power of aspiration. I mean,
yes.
So many magazines that we buy are things we aspire to, not things we're actually going to do. And I'm wondering if our flood of information and our ability to use it technologically, for instance, you know, making pie charts and bar charts. I mean, I can make a nice bar chart that predicts that, in fact, I'm going to take over the world if I just manipulate the information correctly.
Well, I mean, there are people who, you know, I think there's an industry of people who actually do forecasting, where there's a kind of technology of trying to forecast. And we're not so much talking about the technology of forecasters who have their own ideologies and their own methodologies of forecasting. We're talking about people who really do make predictions based largely on ideologies of and desire. Most of the predictions that you see at the end of the year really come from people who actively have programs that are trying to put things forth to get to where they want to go.
That's a
or
really
people who who make presumptions about, you know, where will computers be in 10 years? You know, where do we want them to be in 10 years?
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, we certainly have some control, particularly over the short-term things. Simon Winchester, this difference between forecasting and presuming, you know, when you have a gut-level instinct about what's going to happen, is that something you want to happen, or is it something you fear, or is it just a sign of your intrinsic Simon Winchesterian genius?
I'm fascinated by what Sherry wrote and what she's been saying now about we're predicting or presuming a world that we hope that will come to pass. I wonder if that might not have changed subtly in the last, let's say, 10 years or so, that we're much more doom-laden about our predictions than we used to be. That technology, sure, I remember when I was a child, the comic we all read in England was called The Eagle, and it was dominated by a fantastic sort of space-based creature, character called Dan Dare. And the world that was posited in the Dan Dare comic strips was truly wonderful.
Yeah, we were going to have jetpacks. We were going
exactly,
to the moon,
We love jetpacks. But nowadays, it seems to me that most of our predictions are based on doom-laden prognostications about the future either of the climate or of political mayhem. And I wonder whether Sherry would agree that hope has been replaced to a degree by fear.
That's the big headlines in Wired magazine are always something is dead, right, Sherry?
But that's interesting. I think that something is dead, but technology is sometimes cast in the role of calling in the cavalry.
Hmm.
So, for example, we're not able to take care of our elderly the way we want to, so let's have elder care bots, and they'll do it for us.
Right. So you make a prediction about that, which is really mostly about how we haven't really thought clearly about what we're going to do for elders. We're just hoping for the cavalry, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think a lot of the places where we see that we haven't been able to do our jobs the way we'd want to, technology will take care of us. We haven't been able to take care of the climate, and let's not worry about that. There'll be a technology that'll be able to take care of that for us.
So the takeaway.
Well, and if I can pitch in, there's
very quickly.
About the rising sea levels. And New York and London will be flooded, but Rotterdam won't because technology is making everyone build things in Rotterdam.
Interesting.
That float.
Yeah. Well, it's separating the predictions that we have something to say about versus things we have nothing to say about. Sherry Turkle, professor at MIT, Simon Winchester, author of Atlantic, Great Sea Battles, Heroic Discoveries, and Titanic Storms. I predict this segment has ended.